You're listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Happy Hour again. I don't know. Yeah.
There it is. And welcome to a very special Happy Hour. We are broadcasting live, a remote, not in the Barrel House.
Undisclosed location.
Not at the Barrel House 101 studios, that's for
that's
sure.
Right. We're out of the studio today.
This is such an undisclosed location and such a brand new location that we actually were employed for, I don't know, what do you say, a half hour, 45 minutes?
Something like that.
Putting chairs together. Just
our producer somehow booked us that part of that deal.
Yeah, somehow he left that out of the emails, the correspondence. Oh, I'm just going to let you two think that we're coming in just to start drinking beer right away at 5 o'clock. I was really, really thirsty. And we got our beer. And I've already, because I was so parched, I've already had...
You're almost done.
I've almost had half of it. We're here at the brand new and soon-to-be-open Poseidon Brewing Company.
That's right.
You know, the address is... We'll get to that because it's, you know, it's over here by Los Olivas.
Yes.
And Unit Q something or other, I think.
Through the magic of the coaster, it is 577 Olivas Park. Look at that.
There it is.
Is that? Oh, 577.
So there we go.
Unit Q.
Right.
But don't come down here yet because it's not actually open yet.
No, we'll get to that.
This is a sneak preview.
We'll get to that in a little bit. You know, okay. I had fun though. This is the first time, even though we're talking about that we had to work, I had fun because it's the first time I've helped set up a professional brewery. So
yeah.
I've got that checked off my bucket list right there.
So when you come in here later, you can be like, see that chair right there?
See that?
I built that right there.
And
you can just pick any black chair. You can pick any chair in the whole place. That's what's great.
And so as we're doing this little opening, we'll certainly introduce everyone here. We have Reno. Reno, I'm spacing on your last name. I'm totally blanking.
Oh, last name is King.
King. Reno King. Brewmaster here. So for the podcast listeners, you know when that voice pops up. Vanita, can you pull the mic up?
Yes, I'm Vanita, and I'm the Admiral, I guess.
Perfect.
Nicknamed not by me, but by everybody else.
Perfect. Master and Commander, if you will.
Commander in Chief. Perfect.
And then, Bill, let's hear your voice so that everyone...
Brian.
Bill.
Close enough. Starts with a B.
Jeez.
There's somebody else down there, too, right?
Right.
Last name Oliver, but just short. Everybody calls me Ollie.
Ollie.
There we go. And then we've got
the brewery dog.
Because every brewery needs to have a dog floating around. And the dog's name?
I missed Pokers.
Linus Doggy Doggy Pokers.
AKA Pokers.
Pokers. I will go with Pokers then. So we've got everyone. We've got introduced everyone. You know. Feel free to hop in at any point, you know, go ahead and pull the mics up and say anything. Today, just talking to Jason about everything that was happening here, you know, as you're very close to an opening date, there was a lot of activity happening in here. And I was here, Jason, we were here 2 weeks ago, and the transformation from those 2 weeks is pretty incredible. I mean, light fixtures are hung and everything is lit up. The taps on the wall are all pouring fresh beer.
The bar is ready for people to sit in.
It is.
It looks great in here.
And you were here when?
About 2 weeks ago also, I think. So we got a sneak preview. I don't want to make you feel bad, but we did.
Right, and so we've got...
I think it was about 2 weeks ago. It may have been almost 3 weeks even. But there was like paper on the ground. I think some of the stuff was still being put up. But they were definitely making beer ready.
Well, and even just... talking about last night. I mean, the reason that you were in here a couple weeks ago was for the bounty of the county festival or competition exhibition, possibly
something-ish-in at the fairgrounds last night. Yeah,
and you know, the beer and food pairing competition, which had you and Barrel House 101 and Poseidon paired up together.
Yeah, I think Jason tricked both of us and said that each one of us wanted to work with each other, and so he got us to connect, which was perfect. So it worked out. Actually, it was fun. It was great. The people were coming up going like, where are you guys? I want to go there. And they're like, we're not open yet. So that was cool. It was good. It was their first. That was just cool to be there for their first public pouring ever. That was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
We took a picture of the first guy to ever, the first consumer, because all of us were drinking in the back. But
is that on the Facebook page somehow? Or did you post that somewhere? I missed that.
I may have to send him that picture. There was that first guy. Yeah.
Because I was pouring.
She was in the zone.
Yeah, she was in the zone.
She was. She was just took a, first she was like, I don't know how to pour, and then all of a sudden she was a master. Yeah, she was. It was great.
It only takes two or three pints to get the hang of pouring the beer.
Right.
And but the guys were happy to stand around and critique most of the pours throughout the night.
It was a lot like Caltrans. two of us were leaning.
Three supervisors and one person working.
I think I might have a picture of them standing around, in fact, drinking beer.
That was pretty. It was a lot of fun to just hang out. Sean was there from Institution and Surf, Bill, and Doug and stuff. So it was cool. It's like a little mini reunion. Everyone was talking. And people liked it. And we had a good feedback from the crowd.
Well, the dish that you served up, that Bear Hall served up, was a fantastic dish, from sweet to the tart, and then a little bit of the spicy from the microgreens.
Yes.
And then
a little bit of passion fruit. And it went really well with the grapefruit IPA. It brought out the grapefruit, I think, definitely.
It did. So
we didn't win, but we're not bitter. No one's bitter today. No one's bitter about it. I mean, kudos to the people that won.
Right. It was a...
but it was fun.
It was a fun exhibition. Jason and I were up on the stage.
Yeah, you guys were. You were like celebrities up there.
Looking across the stage at all of you working. Actually, I do have a picture, Vanita, of everyone... of you pouring, and then everyone kind of standing around behind you. Yeah. So I did get that as the people were starting to come through.
Whoops.
You'll have to email that to me.
I'll work on that. I'll try and figure out where that's at. So, you know, before we, I guess, get too comfy, we're one of six beers that we're going to kind of taste through and talk as we're hitting all of the details, I guess, of how Poseidon came to be and what the future holds. We're drinking a wit. Is that correct, Reno?
Yeah, it's a Belgian wit, spiced Belgian wit.
And spiced wit, just the regulars?
Well, it's a recipe of Brian and Vanita's, actually, that we scaled up, and it has fresh orange peel in it from Mud Creek Ranch.
Yep.
So we zested that together. The three of us had a zesting party, and we zested that up.
And we discovered
the Zip Zester
is crap. Yeah, Zip Zester.
Do not use it. Not any other pro brewers out there, don't buy it. It doesn't work. Just get your microplane grater. It's just fine. And then, of course, whole coriander seeds, which we ground with a coffee grinder, and whole chamomile.
Oh, so nice. The chamomile is something new. I guess when I've done mine, it's just been the straight out orange peel and coriander. It's a nice rounded flavor underneath that citrus.
It gives it like a nice herbaceous kind of floral component. And it's kind of funny because when you think about it, once you know it's in there, you're like, oh yeah, I know that flavor. It's kind of familiar to all of us. So,
well, and it's a really well attenuated beer too. It's not overly sweet, and it's just a really crisp, refreshing beer, especially after you've been tearing plastic off of chairs, right?
Curtis is still bitter about the chairs.
I'm going to get Jason for this at some point.
Are we in the 4-5%?
Yeah, we're looking actually a little higher than that on this. I think it's around 5.5.
Nice, all right.
So this is the second beer we brewed, and I was just aiming a little high just in case we came low on our gravity, but we ended up hitting it right on the nose right off the bat. So
that's fine.
It worked out.
5.5 width, that's good. Can't complain about that.
Jason's given us the whiteboard sign, and make sure that we tell everyone that you can find Poseidon Brewery on the web at www.poseidonbrewing.com. There it is.
Right. Now, you touch on, this is a homebrew recipe of you guys'. How long have you been homebrewing, and what possessed you to go from homebrewing to this beautiful place that we see here?
Quick story about 2005.
We have time. You're going to have to give us a quick story.
To do that, huh? All right. Thanks, Vanita. They are filming this. All right. Edit that piece out.
No problem. We'll get that in post.
Right. We will get that out.
So you got to zoom in instead. Zoom in.
I think about 2005, it started as a lot of people would like the Mr. Beer kit, the little plastic jug on the kitchen counter, and that took over. That took over the kitchen. So I built a homebrew system in the garage, and then about, what was it, Nita, 2007 time frame, Iraq deployment. I hit Iraq deployment. So when I was over there, I figured I wanted to get really serious. So I started buying all the bells and whistles stuff, the Blackman fermenters and heat exchangers and all that stuff. And I actually had the in-laws' living room filling up with brewing equipment because she was in and out, didn't want to leave it on the front porch type thing. So I ordered all that stuff, and about 2007, I came back and really started getting serious into the brewing.
So it really just took over, and then you started getting the equipment.
Yep.
And that's it. It hit you. Got the bug.
That's it. Loved it. I think the data is like, what, 50, 55 beers or something? So in the book? The little green
is that
book.
55 recipes?
Yep. Not personally formulated all of them, mm-hmm. but a lot came from like different books and sites and stuff. But what I did, just like slightly tweak them, modify them, a couple different grains, different hops, and so kind of called them on. Yep.
So then, what makes you take the plunge and say we're gonna go commercial and open it?
This one here.
It's actually the opposite story. What we hear
the
most
Admiral
of the time.
Got tired of hearing about the dreams and actually did what Admiral does. I guess it's like pushed it forward, right? So she started putting a business plan together and getting all the paperwork lined up and all that stuff, which actually started about a year ago, right?
Yeah. So like it's a year and a half, May of last year.
A year and a half is a pretty
started,
long, extensive process.
Yeah. That's what I was going to touch on. Yeah, is I mean, going from we want to do this to, let's find out what we actually have to do. Is it about a year till you guys? I mean, you're not open yet, but the whole process was obviously paperwork, and you have things to government agencies. I know with our business we have certain regulations. You guys have even more federal regulations, and without getting too boring, just can you take us through kind of that thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, the first thing we actually did, which maybe was a little bit backwards, was we decided to look at like beer names. And so we just happened to one day like see the recommendation on Facebook, like this person. And so we connected with the craft beer attorney. And, we sort of talked about brewery names and trademarking and that sort of stuff. And so we actually kind of trademarked before we actually did any of the official business paperwork, because our original idea for a brewery was the Deep Sea Brewing Company, just because the Navy term, hoo-ya deep sea and the whole thing. And it turns out there's a deep sea winery in Santa Barbara. So she pretty much ixnayed that, and off we went looking for untrademarked names. And so we ended up with Poseidon, where she ran clearance. And so from there, we filed all of our paperwork because, God, there's so much of it that if you filed with a name that you couldn't end up using and had to, do all the name change paperwork, well, way, way worse. So we started that probably, early May last year. And by the end of May, it filed with, Secretary of State with our paperwork. And, you discover it's an alphabet soup of organizations that you have to work with, from, the TTV on the federal level to the ABC and the Board of Equalization on the state level. And then, locally, you have a conditional use permit, you have building and safety, you have, the list just keeps going on of acronyms. So, everything has a form, everything has a fee.
Most likely a fee. Now, did you know you wanted to be in Ventura, or does that kind of happen? I always wonder that, because it's kind of like you're looking, but then you have to have a place while you're doing some of your paperwork, right?
So you actually have to have a place by the time you filed with the ABC, because they want a site map. So you almost have to commit to a location before you know that you'll actually get approved for the location, because they require a diagram of your actual site. And, you obviously don't want to spend all the money for an architect unless you've committed to location. So, it's like figuring out the finer points of lease negotiation and right. How do you figure out can I have that spot, but lease terms. And it's hard to start paying rent on something you don't even know you're actually going to get approved through the final process to end up putting a brewery in there. But we actually originally were looking at Portawanimi, because we live in Portawanimi, and we drove around for hours on the weekends and, hit up fast food joints for a industrial space tour break, looking for spaces.
One of the toughest things was finding the right space. You won't believe how many churches and schools are in in industrial areas. And
so then, you can't have a brewery by a church or school.
No. And
what's the limit? How close do you have to be, or far do you have to be from a church or school?
I think it was 200 feet or something.
It is something like that, right?
500 feet.
That's actually not that bad. 500 feet, but there are, if there are a lot of churches in the area.
Yeah. So are there industrial area churches?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah, I was going to say, as you drive, all, yeah, I mean,
because
no offense to any churches.
And Camarillo, too, as you're driving up and down Lewis, the, you know, Custom Crush, whatever it was, over on that side, you know, there's a church that just came into that spot.
But they came after them, so.
That's true, but they're, I mean, they keep, it's low rent. It's the same reason, you know, these industrial areas are the same reason that are attractive to breweries or wineries that are moving in into all these industrial spaces, too.
So that was a bit of a struggle. It was kind of like a sign of relief. We found a nice place. Feel like we really hit the geographical lottery with this one.
It's a great location
and great neighbors. So,
I love the searching, because there's been plenty of times where I've driven by a spot, whether it's in Camarillo, wherever, you know, as you're driving through and you see something, you go, that would be a great place for a brewery. Not that I'm looking to do anything, because I...
Right, but it just looks like that would be a great place.
There it is, right.
But what happens is you say, that would be a great place, and then everybody else says, nope, sorry, you can't do that.
Can't do it, yeah. It's,
so then it never becomes a great place for a brewery.
The building next door is zoned for church.
Right. You'd be surprised at the thing we discovered. There's like very few people that own most of the real estate in Ventura. And, you know, the one thing we heard was that one of the landlords that owns like 20% of the industrial area had zero interest in having a brewery in any of his spaces. So you essentially can check off like 20% of the locations that were available or you were looking at or that sort of thing. Because, you know, we'd looked at a couple spaces in Oxnard that we thought were nice. And, you know, there's a couple spaces where you drive by and look at the neighbors and go, you know, they're not a church, but you don't really want them as neighbor either, you know, for XYZ reason or, you know. Like, I think the one interesting though we discovered was how much industry is in this area and how much of the stuff that we've purchased or used in the brewery that's come from somebody else local in an industrial building, you know, a couple streets over or, you know, that sort of thing. So that was kind of interesting driving around. You realized how much of the stuff that you find is manufactured locally and, you know, so that was pretty cool.
The timeline. So when you started, from the time you started looking for a spot till you found this place, what was the timeline on that?
We were looking for like a couple.
I think we started in July, like seriously looking in July, and finally signed a lease in October.
About 4 months or so. Yeah.
But that was like all like all of that was, you know, we actually signed. We'd done all the lease negotiation, the offer, the counter offer, all of that stuff, and you know, all of that adds a week back and forth. So I mean, by the time we actually like got keys was in October. So, you know, and then the next step is like building and safety and, you know, figuring out your whole system and you know, all of that sort of stuff, because, you know, we've heard if it doesn't exactly line up to what your diagrams and they come in and inspect, and then they can say, you know, I mean, like all of that stuff's a big deal. So you really want to put a lot of thought into where you're putting all your tanks and, you know, where everything's going to be set up, because it kind of holds you to that, like, that you've committed, so.
Well, one of the things I think is incredible is that there are landlords who don't want a brewery in their neighborhood. The amount of foot traffic that starts to bring in for everything else that's there is, I think it's short-sighted. I mean, maybe they must have some sort of philosophical reason against it, but I just don't think, I mean, pragmatically, the number of people who are going to be coming into here. I mean, you've got Beacon next door, which brings in all kinds of breakfast. And I mean, your crowds are going to overlap maybe a little bit when you start doing your tap room hours. But, you know, anything else along here is going to start, the business is going to start to see an increase, I would imagine, with people coming in, wanting to drink beer, and then wanting to find food. And where's the closest food place? So, I mean, it just opens it up for all kinds of new businesses, I would think.
You guys are home brewers. So, what made you, you know, come up with the decision to hire someone like Reno? Is there something, some kind of roles that you guys define? Like, you know what, we're going to do this in our business.
Point blank, I don't have any large-scale commercial industrial experience.
That's fair enough. I think that's most of the people that go from homebrewing to commercial, that's probably something that happens.
And you got to build a winning team, and it was pure luck. With meeting Reno, and it was, I don't know, I kind of contributed, like, I don't know, this is probably corny, but everybody knows the Ozzy Osbourne Randy Rhodes combination. Like, so nice. It's like we make some great music together, man.
We hit it off. When we met we just communicated well, you know, like you meet someone, you're on the same level communication. It made sense to us. So like I like Brian right off the bat. he's asking the right questions. You could tell he'd done his research before he asked any of the questions. So they were all like complex questions having to do with actual commercial brewing. They were, he was way past the home brewing level when he started poking around, checking stuff out. So
how long have you, been on board, Rio?
I've been working. How long have I worked for you guys for now? Like 4 months in May? Yeah.
So you've really, been a big part of this part of the.
Well, to be honest, Brian Venita, this is their brainchild. They've put their heart and soul into everything. They've been doing everything themselves. They bought all the equipment before they hired me. They knew what they wanted. So I came in and they'd already, once again, I could tell he'd already done his research enough that I'm super happy with the layout of the brewery because they had done their homework first. So
perfect.
It was fantastic.
Curtis is empty here, and so are you, Reno, so it's probably a good time.
Yeah, well, and parched. I think that'll be a great place to stop too, and we can come back after the break, and then we'll talk, we'll just kind of hit
Reno's
background, and we'll just kind of go from there. So we'll just take a couple minute break. And anything else over there, Jason? Let's see. Core beer.
All right. Selection process. Very good.
So we've got all kinds of good topics to come up in just a couple minutes.
All right. It's Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Cheers.
Hey, thanks for listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. If you like this podcast, make sure you like us on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook under Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Give us a like and share it with all your friends. We'd appreciate it. Cheers.